we'll call this meeting at 5:05 p.m. Welcome, everybody. Haven't seen you guys in a long time. Happy to be here.
Everybody still looks great, so I think we're all still okay.
Can we do a roll call for attendance?
Yeah.
I'll start. Scott Aylett.
Becky Hill.
Angie Gurrell.
Ben Sanson.
Zelia Lopez.
Julie Rust.
And then Councilman Took will be here in a little bit. And I'm not sure about Board Member Shockley. I will first open it up to public comment. If there's anyone from the public that wants to make a comment, you guys are also part of the public, so if you want to comment, you could. Seeing none, we can move on to approving the minutes from the June meeting. This feels like forever ago. We reviewed a couple material reconsideration requests and had kind of a follow-up conversation about our collection development policy as it pertains to nudity within the collection, and kind of reaffirmed the previous decision or recommendation to keep anything containing nudity in our limited access section. We talked a little bit about some upcoming changes to our organizational structure at the library and restructuring into divisions, and we'll have kind of a follow-up conversation about that today. And summer reading, we talked about that a little bit. So kind of a recap of our June meeting. So we'd entertain a motion to adopt the minutes from the June 2024 meeting.
I'll approve that.
Okay, first by council, or not, board member Gurrell, second by board member Rust. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? None. Okay. Upcoming events. So, I'll jump into my slides here. So, a few kind of upcoming events, or events that we've started that are recurring or going on now, that I thought would be good to highlight. I think about a month or two ago, we started doing this pop-up story time at Tabitha's Way as a way to try and reach out to members of the community that aren't coming to the library. And it turns out that most of the individuals that we've been visiting with at Tabitha's Way are Spanish speaking. So we have a couple Spanish speakers, so on the second Tuesday of the month we go there, we do a bilingual story time at Tabitha's Way with the families that are there picking up food, which has been a great resource to reach out to the community, in addition to our bilingual story time that we do on Monday evenings. So once a month on the second Tuesday we go to Tabitha's Way, and this kind of reaffirms kind of this. Going on the sidetrack, there was a study that was recently released, I think it was through the Washington Post, looking at library users across the country. And I've always thought and assumed that individuals of lower income are more likely to use the library, and it's the complete opposite. The low income users, individuals with lower education, are less likely to use the library than those with higher education and more income.
Interesting.
And so we're starting an analysis right now at our library to analyze where are our current library users, where do they live in the community. So we're going to go out and map them all. We have all the addresses. We'll use our GIS department to map them all out. And then we'll be able to see within the city, are there geographic areas of the community that we're missing? And using census data, pair that with average household income, education, household size, to see, are we getting the lower income, the Spanish-speaking households, those types of demographics that are less likely to use the library? Anyways, total rabbit hole, but inside, you know, tangent, but I think that will be very informative as we try and figure out how do we reach out to some of these, you know, members of our community that are less likely to use library services. And I think this is a simple way that we're trying to do that by working with families that use Tabitha's Way for resources. On Thursday, October 24th, we're having Poe and Tea Night with Traumagician. Traumagician is a local band that has put Edgar Allan Poe works to music.
Really?
For real?
For real. Edgar. So they're...
Like, are they older or younger?
No, they're younger.
Wow.
Younger
that
people.
That is amazing.
So we're having a Poe and Tea night where they'll be performing some of their work. You know, Edgar Allan Poe's work to music. Kind of interesting, but see how that goes. Annually...
Tell her that my daughter will love that.
She'll see you there?
She will be there. Nice. You click off like three different things for her.
Oh, you're right. That's awesome.
Poe, tea, and
music.
That is great.
How long will that last, that night?
I would assume it would probably be over before we close at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So an hour, hour and a half.
Make your appearance
and then come. I don't want to miss this. This is awesome.
Annually, we do a teen escape room. Last year was Halloween themed. A couple years ago was Harry Potter. This year, we're doing a Legend of Zelda escape room, and it runs through October 26th. I think there's still some time slots available, and it's been pretty popular with the teens. They love it. It's in one of the... Actually, I think this year it's in the teen program room.
That's so crazy.
But it's fun, and they come in, and they have an hour to find the Master Sword and get out, so it's a lot of fun. Another thing we've started doing with our teens on Mondays, we call it Early Out Hangout. So at 3 o'clock in the teen program room, we'll have some type of snack. We've done ramen. We've done, I think, pancakes. We've done quesadillas. Just some easy snack, and the teens love it. They literally eat it up. Like,
well, I'm sure. Yeah. Food and teens.
Food and teens.
You guys are smart.
And there's one teen in particular that just last week we were closed for our staff development day last Monday. And he showed up, and I caught him in the lobby, and he was going upstairs. I'm like, oh, we're closed today. And the look on his face just drained. Oh, I look forward to this every single week. Like, this is my highlight, is coming to the early out hangout. And I was like, well, maybe we'll see if we can do it another day this week. And he said, well, my electric scooter, I lost my charger, and I only had one charge left, and I used it to get here today. And I'm like,
you're like, so, I'm sorry. But like, I got some gum.
Right, there's some leftover donuts from earlier today. But it's been really popular. And oftentimes we'll just walk around the library and grab teens that are on the balconies or studying or doing whatever. And say, hey, we've got this type of treat in the teen program room. Nice. And it's been a huge hit. So.
Kudos to Haley. I'm assuming
Haley,
this is a Haley idea.
This is a Haley thing. And
tell Haley we applaud her. And
it is so awesome. Just
that's an amazing
those little things, right?
It's true. For sure.
We get some criticism, right, that we've got video games in the library, and it's not about the video games. It's about creating things that attract different interests and different groups and having a safe place for them to kind of hang out.
Yeah,
if that means that I give them a quesadilla, great.
Yeah.
I'll feed you a quesadilla and you can come hang out here for a few hours. So, and then this is a little ways down the road, but our New Year's Eve party will be on Tuesday, December 31st.
Oh, I love
New Year's Eve.
I say that 10 times fast, but...
I know, it's tough. But it's a hit for the kids, right, and for the parents, right? Then your kids don't have to stay up until midnight. They can come and have a little dance party here at the library on New Year's Eve. So,
wasn't the library having a Halloween dance or something?
That was last week.
It was last week, okay.
So last Friday we had our adult after hours event. I think our final count, we had 150-ish adults that come. We had a DJ with dancing in the program or in the heritage room. We had like palm readers in the library, and we had just a bunch of different, a flute choir came and performed.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we had a bunch of different activities for the adults, but it's a good date night activity, and it was $10. It's not expensive, right? And we had the caterer that helps with some of the mocktails and some of the snacks and whatnot. They donate a lot of their time and a lot of their food to help with this event, so it helps drive the cost down for us. So I think we'll keep doing at least that one annual adult after hours.
I saw it somewhere, maybe on the webpage or something. That is so cool. I got to find out more. And then obviously I didn't and missed it. So
I didn't tell my husband to do it. That's when you just say, what do you want wants to go with me?
Right?
Yeah, what board member wants to come?
I just found our solution next year.
Next year.
Since our last meeting, I haven't received any new material reconsideration requests, so we don't have any to talk about there. Kind of a side note here, I think the Salt Lake Tribune recently did an article about the 13 books that have been banned statewide through the recent legislation, and I was pulling the numbers, and I think we had like three or four of them, but they were all in the adult collection. And most of them we don't have in our collection. There were a few that we have digitally through the Beehive Library Consortium. But anyways, it was just interesting to see what are the controversial items statewide right now, and do we have them?
Yeah.
And that type of a thing. So, but I haven't had any other reconsideration or requests in the last couple months. Okay, display themes. So kind of as a reminder, I think we did this earlier this year, as a way to get buy-in from the community through the board as to our theme displays. We've set a new policy where we come to you in the fall and say, here are the themes that we would like to spotlight in the upcoming year through our different displays in the library. Some of them, like some departments like tween, do it monthly. Our children's department, the display items move so fast that we're constantly changing the theme to keep up with materials as they circulate. But here is kind of a breakdown. Did I send this out? If I didn't, I apologize.
I don't remember.
I don't think you did.
I don't think I saw it.
Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think. We can scroll through, but there isn't really anything that sticks out to me that I think would be of concern. And what we can do is I can let you guys look at this, digest it, and then send any feedback that you guys have to me. Because I get there's 52 weeks in a year, right? 12 months. And so there are a lot of different themes. But I'd love to get your guys' thoughts and feedback if you see any concerns. Again, we think inevitably there's going to be concern with something that gets put on display at the library, right? And so we want to be cognizant of our community's interests, but also take opportunities to spotlight maybe those voices that aren't heard as much, as well as things that are really popular within the community and holidays and seasons and those types of things, and having buy-in and support from the board so that when there's a complaint, we've got that the ability to say this wasn't necessarily just an administrative action or decision. We vetted it through the library board and got their buy-in. And if there are themes with which you guys have concerns, then we can revisit those and come up with something else. We just don't want, you know, some of the fallout that has happened in other public libraries due to things that get put on public display. So I'll email this out if you guys want to take a look at it and then send any feedback that you have and we can make any adjustments. So, okay. Moving on. Updates. We haven't met for a while, so there's a lot of just little things that would love to update you all on, things that have changed and things that we're working on. Talk about display themes. So last time we talked about reorganizing the library. We had talked about how our clerks were our jack of all trades, the wild cards that worked everywhere. And since then, we've reorganized into 5 divisions. So we have Chrissy, who's over our circulation services. So they work the main desk downstairs. They run the sorter in the back. They're pulling holds, that type of a thing, working with patrons that create new library accounts, patrons with fines and fees, which I should have mentioned things currently going on right now. We've got our food for fines with Tabitha's Way that runs through the end of the month. You can donate food up to $20 worth, and will waive fines and fees on your account. So Chrissy is over our circulation services. Suzanne is our senior children's librarian over everything children's. Haley is our teen and technical services. So everything teen and then technical services includes repairing, processing new materials, those types of things. Amber is our adult services librarian. And then Tia Haycock is over our catalog, so cataloging new materials, updating the catalog, those types of things. And then the pages who actually shelf the materials. In last year's budget request to the city council, one thing that we had requested was adding assistant librarians to certain divisions. Haley is super spread thin, right? She just doesn't have enough time to do all the great things like early out hangout with all the collection development and that type of thing that she has going on. So we had requested adding assistant librarians for each of the divisions. Well, with some of the other needs that the city had with this year's fiscal budget, fiscal year budget, meaning more specifically adding a full-time fire department, that took up most if not all of any, you know, new revenue for the city's budget. All departments were told have a net zero budget for FY25. So if you need to add things, you've got to take from somewhere else. So we couldn't add these assistant librarians. But what we did was we took our lead clerks, who were kind of our shift leads, so they would fill in wherever, answer a lot of questions, get more technical training. We assigned each of them as an assistant librarian to each of the divisions. So we filled that need using existing staff, which has been a huge benefit, and allowed these new assistant librarians to continue to develop and specialize in their areas. We promoted one of our program coordinators, Robin. I don't know if you know Robin.
I do.
Promoted her to be an assistant librarian. She's been here forever and has a lot of experience, and so found an opportunity for an existing staff member to continue to progress. And then one of them we took and made as kind of an administrative assistant for the department, and so she helps out with a lot of just the administrative things that we have going on that take a lot of time that I used to do, and now I've been able to have her work on some of those things. So we're 2 months in to this change, and we're still adjusting and learning, and my staff, I think, are eager to have a period of no change and just let things settle for a little bit. But a lot of the feedback we've gotten so far from our staff is that they appreciate now being able to focus on a certain age group. Our adult services people can really focus on learning and knowing the adult collection. We call it the Christine effect, right? They can get to know the people that come to their area, build those relationships, make those connections, and then serve the patron better because you know the patron. So that was a huge shift, and so far so good. And anyways, kind of a big change here at the library lately. And this all happened at the same time that we changed our new hours in the morning. So now we open on weekdays at 9 a.m. instead of 10 a.m. We haven't really seen, at least in the first month, noticed any significant difference in our circulation or the number of visitors. And I don't know if it's a result of there's fewer people coming. I was saying to Julie and Zilia before the meeting started that seasonally and typically our June is our highest circulating month of the year, and then July tapers off a little bit. August is generally slower as people get ready for school, and then September picks back up again. October is kind of down, November's down. Well, our June this year was slower than our July, and our September was slower than our October has been busier than our September. So everything is offset by 1 month. So I don't know that by looking at September's numbers on door counts and that type of thing compared to last year is really reflective of the change. Again, it's only 1 month. Though we have seen an increase in our morning program attendance. So like one of our morning programs that we do, compared to last September, they've had 30 more people per story time than last September. So because instead of starting story time at 10:30 and 11:30 and conflicting with preschool pickup and nap time, we do 10 and 11 o'clock.
That's perfect.
And so we're getting higher attendance at those programs.
Drastically higher.
Yeah, 30 more people.
Huge.
Yeah. So we regularly pack the Heritage Room with 130 people for story time on Mondays and Thursdays. We have seen, though, more individuals just in the library studying, working. They're here at 9 o'clock. Maybe they work from home or they study or whatever, and they're just looking for a quiet space. We've seen more of that happening here at the library at the 9 o'clock hour. Plus people coming in to pick up their holds and that type of thing. So we'll continue to monitor and see what impact there is from this earlier change. But what we've heard from patrons in our programs is that they appreciate that we open up earlier. You can drop your kids off at school and then not have to wait an hour to go to the library. Also, in the last couple of weeks, we received for the second consecutive year the quality library designation from the Utah State Library. So the Utah State Library isn't USU's library. It's a division of the state. And so they're kind of in the same grouping with like museums and arts and some of those other divisions of the state. And they work to help improve library services, public library services throughout the state. They provide a lot of the grants that we apply for, and they have this quality library designation award that you can apply for as part of your annual recertification if you meet six or more of their different criteria of going above and beyond what's the bare minimum to get state grants through recertification. So this year we had 7 of the 10 criteria. I bolded those that we hit. So outreach is just services that you provide outside of your building. What are you doing in the community to reach community members? Having certain things on your website. Resource sharing is, do you provide ILL resources, interlibrary loan resources, to your patrons? Professional involvement, are you involved in professional organizations and development for your full-time staff? Engaging programming, that's our bread and butter, right? We do really well at that. Innovation is just kind of a catch-all. What are you doing that's innovative for your community or for libraries in general? And then professional development, do you provide opportunities for your staff to train and learn and grow and develop? So we're proud for getting that for the second year in a row. I think we're one of 15 or 20 public libraries in the state to get that designation. And so kind of a nice little...
Well-deserved.
Well, it's my staff, right? I just write the report. They're the ones that go and do all the great work. And we're eager over the next couple of years to just continue working at this and making sure that we're going above and beyond what's the bare minimum that the state expects out of libraries. Part of that is our staff development day that we do every year. Last year it was, it was actually our second year, and we did it last Monday. We closed for the day and we had 60 of our employees. I think we've got about 65 employees now. We had 15 when I started 4 years ago.
No way.
That's crazy.
Wow.
And we had a variety of training sessions. On the right, you can see they're practicing CPR. We did Stop the Bleed training. We talked about the library's mission, how we work with other city departments, that when library employee is hired, they don't work for the library, they work for Spanish Fork City, and we're all working towards the same goal of making Spanish Fork City the best city, and we all just do it in different ways. We do it through library services, Parks and Rec does it through parks and recreation, Public Works does it through streets and sewer and water and electricity, and anyways, but at the end of the day, we all are working towards the same goal. So it was a great day. We had Seth and Tyler, the city manager and assistant city manager, come for lunch and do an FAQ. We talked a lot about the rec center and kind of their vision for the library moving forward and that type of a thing. But just a great opportunity as we continue to grow. There's a lot of new faces and it's hard to remember who's who and make those connections. So it was a great day. And I think next year What I'd like to do is, I understand that you all work and you have a lot going on, but extend the invite out to you all that if you'd like to come and participate or even just come for lunch, and then you can mingle with some of the library staff, because that was one thing that you've said to me is, we want to be able to know the staff better. And so next year we'll open that up and include you guys so that you can participate in that. And then in December, we typically will do a library employee, like Christmas dinner or activity. And this year I'll extend that invite out to you as well so that you can come as board members and engage with and get to know our library staff. So
this is great.
290 folds.
How many employees do we have in that library?
About 65.
65. Never 65. Started?
About 15.
That Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, we've got a lot more space, but we do a lot more now, right? I think we've doubled or tripled the number of children's programs that we offer. Same thing with teens and adults, right? There's just so much more that goes into what we do that we ran a really tight ship for a really long time. So we've got really good people. And we've hired a lot from other libraries. We've hired a lot from Springville. And many of our Springville employees, they come here and then they end up quitting Springville and they just stay with us, which is really
awesome.
Great.
So. There's a huge difference. Because I kind of work right beside the Springville Library that you mail me a lot. But anyways, I have to go and visit. There's a huge difference in the feel. And our website, huge difference.
Yes, I was on trying, my mom lives in Springville, and trying to get on their website. I was like, I'm used to
this. Ours is so easy.
Ours is so easy, and we were trying to go for it.
Yeah.
It was not.
It's not really.
It's just not.
And every time I show up, they say, you can get a card here because you work in Springville. And every time I'm like,
I don't need to.
I don't know how good that would look. But there's a huge difference between here and Springville.
Which is funny because I feel like before you got the new building, I was like, why don't we have a library like Springville? Why don't we have a library like Springville?
And now
we've surpassed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we look to them, right? What's Springville doing? And now
they're
looking
like,
Spanish Fork doing?
But before it was, we looked to Orem. Do you remember those days when we looked to Orem?
Yeah.
Look at us. But look at us go.
We're growing up. Now we get people saying, what's Spanish Fork doing? So back in March, we did our staff called it ElfCon, Early Literacy Friends Conference, and it was for public library staff throughout the state that do early literacy services for kids 0 to 7, right? Mm-hmm. Programs, reading programs, those types of things. And it was a Saturday, like half-day conference, and we had, I think, 30 or 40 library staff from across the state that came. And all of our staff, all of our children's staff, presented on different topics. Like, here's how you do a puppet story time. Here's how you do a sensory story time for individuals on the autistic spectrum. Here's how you do a bilingual story time. And a couple weeks ago, I was at a director's conference for all the public library directors. And I had several directors come to me and say, are you doing your conference again in March? Because our staff loved it. And they took so much from that, even rural communities. We had some come all the way from Cache County.
Wow.
Sent library staff to come down and learn how to do good story time. So we no longer are the library that's like, and we love to learn from others, right? But we've really developed and kind of grown.
Who do you invite to that?
So it's mostly public libraries, but I think,
because I know a group you should invite. The school district.
Yeah.
Can I put a plug in for that? So I've been going to story time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you really?
Yes. my husband's like, where are you going? I'm going to go to story time. So, I mean, my sister does do the ones I go to, but I go with my niece and her little girl that's like one.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so good. The research they do with them, and this little one-year-old, she was like kind of hesitant last month when it started, but on Monday for the first time. So they do stamps after, like the letter stamps. So she goes and she puts her arms out. She wanted like multiple stamps on her arms. And not only that, it was so cute because there's this point where they like, you get your fake wand out and like do this little wand thing like with the letters. And she was doing it. She's 15 months old. Like, it's impressive.
Just impressive. Yeah. I'm blown away every time. I'm like, wow, it's so good. I've been telling people about it because I'm like, you need to get your kids here. It's such a great early literacy. Like, right. They know what they're doing. Like, they're with the research. So yeah.
Yeah.
There's my. Awesome. It's good.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's awesome. It's been fun to go.
And a lot of it is her sister is just fantastic.
Her name's Karen. She's
just
worked
phenomenal.
At Springville and then she came over here.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
You stole her?
Yeah, and she lives in Springville too, but she loves it here. She absolutely loves it. But yeah, I'm like, with my kids even being little, I'm like, man, we missed out on some really good stuff. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
story times used to be come and we're going to read to the kids,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But and it's so much more than that. Like, we see it as an opportunity. How can we educate the parent so mm-hmm. that when they yeah. leave story time, they can help their kids with early literacy, right? So it's more engaging for the parent, and
yeah, it's
just
really cool.
Leaps and bounds
so
better
good.
Than what we have ever done. So if you haven't done the story time, I recommend coming
Monday or Thursday
what time?
At 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So she plans two different story times, and so on Monday she does one at 10 and then she does the other one at 11. And then on Thursday, she reverses it. And we get a lot of people that come and go to both. Mm. So they'll go to the one, or they'll come hang out downstairs, get like some books and play downstairs, and they come up for story time, and then there's a half hour break between them, so then they go back downstairs and play, and then they come back for the second one.
Yeah, no, it's definitely worth seeing like what they're doing. It's
incredible. They
it's
do
really
such
good.
A great job.
Yeah.
Moving on, back in July, we started our video game collection through the grant that we received, and it has been, I think, a little popular.
A little bit,
just
yeah.
A little bit.
Not red.
So, we have, we've got 220-something Nintendo Switch games. 173 of them are out right now, 42 of them are sitting on the hold shelf, and 11 of them, and 11 is high. Usually, the shelf is bare. There's nothing for people to take.
I looked at them to see if I could get some. They were all on hold. I was like, "Oh, I've got to plan ahead."
Do they do the Switches as well? Like,
yeah.
The physical Switch.
So we don't have an actual console that you can check out.
It's just the games.
It's just the games.
When they're like $60 to $80 a pop,
yeah,
like
they're expensive.
Awesome to be able to come get them.
Just come check them out here. And this is really interesting. I ran all of the holds that have been currently placed on items at the library. 21% of them are for Nintendo Switch games. it's so disproportionate.
Popular.
It is
so
just
popular.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, we haven't gotten a lot of patron requests. I've received a few, and maybe it's that patrons don't know that they can request for us to go purchase a game. But yeah, they just. Flying off the shelves. So we may look at circulating consoles. There's a grant that we applied for through the state. So the state has applied for an FCC grant, like communications and technology, like access for people throughout the state. And so part of our grant, our pre-application was, let's update all of our consoles when Nintendo comes out with the Switch 2, which I think is probably going to be in the next 6 to 12 months, in which case we've got two Switches upstairs and two Switches in the children's department. So if we were to update all those to the new Switch, then I would put the Switch, original Switch out for circulation.
That's
people
smart.
Could check it out. You know?
Smart idea.
So I don't know if we'll end up getting that grant or not, but along with a bunch of other things that we'd like to do to improve access to technology and whatnot here at the library. But just really fun and exciting to see how well this has been received by the community. We thought and knew that it would be well received, but it's just been incredible to see the response. So, Kat, upcoming closures. So the library, we typically will close at 5 o'clock on Halloween so that patrons and staff can be home. And then on Veterans Day, which is Monday, November 11th, we'll be closed for kind of our annual special project and cleaning day. it's not really spring cleaning for us, it's fall cleaning. We go through storage rooms and our closets and all the staff areas, declutter and clean. I just don't want to have what we had in the old building, which was years upon years upon years of hoarding and collecting items that never get used, yeah. Right? And so having a chance to go through and clean those things out, work on some special projects. We hope to be able to make some more progress on the back end, at least, with the new adult collection that we're working on and some other things. On Thanksgiving, we close on the Wednesday, or we close at 6 on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. And in the past, we were closed just Thursday and Friday. This year, we'll stay closed on Saturday as well.
That's pretty nice.
My staff are excited that I don't have staff coming in on Saturday. That's typically slower for that holiday weekend. Christmas, again, we close at 6 o'clock on the 23rd, close on the 24th and 25th, and then close again at 6 on New Year's Eve, and then close on the 1st. Those are kind of all the updates that I have. Is there any questions about anything we have going on, updates on any programs or services that you guys want to know about?
I was just going to make a suggestion for the, maybe to increase circulation for those that are in the lower income demographics. Because we have somebody here that works for the nutrition department at the school district.
True.
To put you on the spot.
Well, because they have a free reduced lunch list. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if families who are applying for the free reduced lunch list could be given information about the library.
I'll have to ask because there's a million rules about that list. Like, I don't even have access to that list. It's so
I know.
As it should be, right?
Yeah.
Like, but I have no idea.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, like, if they apply, just they get some kind of information, like,
you know. Just part of the application process. They're going to get that information as well.
Yeah,
so the application is done from the federal government. Yes. They make it, you know.
I know.
I'm trying to think how it works, and it's all online. Like, we don't even do paper ones anymore.
Yeah.
But they do come, people come in, and we have a website.
Yeah.
So I wonder if we could put something on there. I'll talk to our free and reduced price person, Angie, about it.
Yeah.
See what.
Yeah. And then I know there's isn't there like a food bank or something here in Spanish Fork?
So doing our story times there has helped. We also, in August, they do their backpack, like back to school event that they do down at the fairgrounds, where they give out a couple thousand backpacks to kids in the community, and it comes with a book. And so for the last few years, we've donated a bunch of books for that, and we go down and we'll sign up for library cards and that type of thing there. But this analysis will help us identify areas that we're lacking, but then how do we bridge the gap? How do we connect with the people there.
Do you guys still go into the school and do an assembly at the end of the year to get them up for the summer?
For summer reading, yeah.
Okay, is it still Robin?
Last year it wasn't Robin. It was
years ago when I saw it.
Robin used to do it. Yeah, it was Kristen and Tiffany last year.
Because that works magic. Yeah. And then if you get the librarians in the school on your page, maybe bookmarks and stuff, they'll tie in and get the kids to that, too.
Yep.
So maybe when you do that survey of which areas hit those schools the hardest.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So I know there's an LIA at Spanish Fork High, or I think Spanish Fork Junior High.
Yeah.
You know, and then I think I really appreciate the bookmarks that they can color.
Yeah.
You know, and so if they're in Spanish, you know, it has like a QR code on, you know, how to apply for an application.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. We've, since opening Library Hall last year, we've had over 6,500 new library accounts.
Wow.
So, like,
that's awesome.
That's
incredible.
Usership is way up, right? That's the same number that we did, I think, the previous 4.5 years.
Wow.
Just like, tons of people. But we're still missing, I'm sure, huge sections of our community. Mm-hmm. One thing that we did back in 2019, we went fine free on children's books. Mm-hmm. So we stopped charging overdue fines on children's books to try and promote literacy and take away the stigma that I can't go to the library because I have these overdue fines on the book, right? And I think the original intent was do that as a trial and then move forward with the rest of the collection. And we just have never done that, right? Mm-hmm. This trial on the children's collection was under the previous director. She retired just as COVID hit, and then we just haven't done anything else with it. So right now I'm kind of analyzing this, looking at a bunch of different studies for libraries that have gone fine-free to see, does it have the impact, right? If you go across the board and say, no more overdues, are those people that are less likely to use the library for financial reasons more inclined to use the library because they're not going to have an overdue fine? Now, in these cases, you still charge if they don't bring the item back or if they damage it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But that 10 cents per day for being late.
You guys, what do you use that money for now? Like the overdue? Like, would it be a hit to your budget?
I think annually we get about $8,000 in overdue fines, and our operating budget's like $1.4
million. Yeah, I was just wondering, like, is this like a huge amount of money?
It's really
have fines.
Feels like I just paid my $1.60.
I owe $1.90 when I check these out. I'm like, you owe $1.90. I'm like,
I think at the highest it was like $20,000 back in the day.
Yeah.
But we stopped charging on children's fines, and then back, I think in 2021, we started doing auto-renew.
Auto-renew is amazing.
Now we don't, there's a lot that we now don't charge for overdues because items auto-renew.
Right.
So I'm analyzing to see, do you see an increase in the number of lost items if you don't charge overdues?
Right.
Because like, oh, well, now I don't have to take it back, right? And some other things just to get a sense so that I can go to the city council in our work session in January and talk about whether or not we want to look to go fine free across the board. Again, it's $8,000. It's not a lot.
Yeah. With the kids' books, have you seen more lost items or anything like that?
I didn't really track numbers.
Okay.
I'm very much a numbers guy.
I know, I love it.
Previous director, she was not. She was a book person. And I love books too, but she was, and so I don't have really good data to be able to tell whether or not we saw an increase. So I'm really having to go based off of what other libraries have seen in their respective collections. And we could do another trial, right, and say let's extend it through teen material. But it's like if you're going to do that, just rip the band-aid off and do it, right? So I'll do a bunch of research before January, and I think before I present to the city council, we'll print a ticket to you guys to get some of your feedback so that I have a more informed discussion with the city council. But so I don't know if that helps bridge the gap for some of these low-income families. But
so I know your librarians have so much on their plate, but I'm going to throw this out there again. I think they need to become BFFs with the school librarians and just send out an email. I get an email about once a month from Springville saying, this is what's going on at the Springville Library, and I will tell the kids, hey, this is what's going on at the Springville Library. And then I also always have their thing, and I'll tell my side on this as well. I always have Springville Library pulled up on my computer, even though they're harder to use. And I'll say to them, if they want a book, I'll say, I don't have it, but let's look in Springville. And then I'll tell them, and I can look at and find where to find it. And that, so I think if we partner maybe with the schools, you'll get a little more of those kids that aren't using it.
Right. What's the best way to connect with? Just drop in. What would you recommend?
I'm going to send you the lady who's in charge of the librarians.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so do they not report to like the respective principal?
They do, but then there's a group
like
of them.
District.
Yeah. It's Denise Alexander. Do you know Denise Alexander? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll send you her contact. Okay. But Springville emails me once a month and says, this is what we're doing. And then they drop off stuff if they've got something going on. And I'll send flyers home and I'll hang it up. And so I think if you connect in a school library.
That helps.
It helps.
Cool.
At least the kids are going home and telling their mom,
I
want to go to the library.
Yeah. And they all want a bookmark. You know, if there's something going on, there's a bookmark or
And having a QR code on the bookmark home's a great idea because then the parents, that's so easy.
Yeah, and
for information.
One's in English, one's in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll talk to my people on my side, because I know Springville's already doing it.
Right.
But if we can, you know.
Do it for Spanish Fork.
Do it for Spanish Fork. Low-hanging
fruit, right? Let's,
yeah.
Let's work together.
And I mean, we could even do it more in Spanish Fork.
You're Springville.
I'm secretly taking Springville down.
We go to the senior center. I think once a month we go to their like lunch.
Oh,
and mm-hmm. we'll do like a book talk.
Okay.
And then we'll take some materials and have them available for checkout.
Yeah, with the high school being right there, I'd make sure they're best friends too.
Yeah. And then we do outreach to some of the assisted living facilities in town.
Okay.
It's really more like homebound service, so we go and pick up the books that they have checked out, and we take them new books to read, and we
Does
check them out.
Does the library have like a bookmobile?
We don't have a bookmobile. Provo has an outreach van that they purchased that they use for that type of thing. It's not cheap, but...
Do the people request the books, the assisted living people? You just take an assortment and let them look at them and pick them?
So... We try and work with them, and we'll like look through their reading history to say, okay, they typically like this, they typically like that. We're working on some sort of system for them to be able to rate an item and say, like, give us the item back, and you know, five smiley faces, right? And they,
so you know,
it was a five or it was a one,
yeah.
And we can then tailor their reading moving forward based off of what they like and don't like. But
probably
we have some that have more usership when we do that than others, but it's a good.
For like DVDs taken, like movies?
I'd have to see if we've taken DVDs and videos. I know that we've added a couple portable CD players, and we'll take those to the assisted living facilities with an audiobook because they're less inclined to use Libby. But we'll take them a CD player and some headphones and they can listen to an audiobook that way.
Nice.
But yeah, DVDs, that's a great idea. We've got DVD players here that we check out to people, so. These are all great. So. Okay, well, I didn't have anything else. Anyone else have any comments, ideas, suggestions, things you want to know about? Cool. Well, then I entertain a motion to adjourn. First from Melanie, second from Zelia. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed?
No. You're first. I was first.
5:53?
Yes.
Nice. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Wonder November when